It is time for our weekly intuitive business feature with Plus 94 Research here on Money Talk on Mix 93.8 FM. Tonight we discuss usage and attitudes research. Plus 94 Research CEO Sifiso Falala joins us as usual in studio on a Thursday. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
First, let's unpack the nature of the usage and attitudes research. What exactly are we talking about here?
Manufacturers and service providers typically want to have their products sold to the market. And when the product is out there, it is the real test of whether or not it will live up to expectations. So when the product is being used by the consumer, it's very important to find out the in-use conditions and whether the consumer is in fact satisfied with the product. But more than that, beyond that, consumers often use products in ways that are totally unexpected, what is often referred to as extended usage. For instance, a product like Sunlight Liquid could be used to wash a car, and so could something like Handy Andy, for instance, be used to wash a car. And we found, for instance, with things like self-raising flour and other types of flour, that they could be used to thicken gravy. So it's very important for whoever is the manufacturer to actually understand how their product is being used, because the intended use might not in fact be the way in which the product is being used by all consumers.
A very interesting study from what you've explained. Now, speaking of the exact purpose of this, how important is it to not limit your scope in doing research of this nature?
Yes, it's very important to look beyond the assumptions that you make between yourselves as management and your marketing teams, to be very objective in understanding what are the factors that drive actual usage. And the other part of that is attitudes. If you look at attitudes and usage, they are linked. Some would say usage and attitudes. Others would say attitudes and usage. In other words, the attitude precedes the usage. And often there is the thinking that an attitude could relate to what we call a sensory experience, which is how you experience a product when you eat it or smell it or experience it in using one of your senses. But there's also other non-sensory experiences that you have with the brand, which, for instance, might relate to, say, the image that it has, or the kind of image you are able to project by virtue of being associated with that product.
Yeah.
So attitudes are an important accompaniment of usage, or they precede usage. It's very important in studying product usage to also look at the accompanying attitudes.
Is this type of research then done with just consumers, or should it be done based on the market that one is in?
Yes, you can do it with just the consumers, but you use different methods. The one method you can use would be what is called simulated test markets, where you simulate reality. In other words, have a test sample of consumers who would use the product under what would pretty much mirror the reality or the real conditions in which the product would be used.
Yeah.
Or you can give consumers a product to take home and to use as they would normally do with their families. But also you can observe consumers discreetly while they go about using their different products. Not all products are edible and not all products are tangible. Some products are intangible. So you could observe people, for instance, using their mobile phones. You could observe them online in terms of the websites that they browse and stuff like that.
That said, in what sectors then is this type of research most helpful and beneficial?
In all sectors, wherever you have a product, it's very important to understand what consumer attitudes are. Not necessarily for your own product only, but for the category as a whole. For instance, there's a tendency to view insurance as a grudge purchase. So people might see insurance as something that you buy as a last resort, or it's just a question of calculating how much you're going to lose rather than how much you're going to gain by buying that product. So the attitude relates to every person that plays in that space. Then you have different brands that then have different images and different characteristics within that whole industry. So it's important to do it across the board, whatever your product is, whatever your service is.
How effective is this type of research, especially when we talk about doing it with consumers who often change their minds?
Yes, very interesting question. The research itself is effective in the sense that you need to do research on a continuous basis.
Okay.
You cannot do it once and say, I've got the answer now. The consumers cannot change their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, based on what the different companies themselves do, it forces consumers into a position where they see the whole category differently because there's an interrelationship between product categories. At times, you may find, for instance, consumers would buy voice airtime
mm-hmm.
and use it as data and convert it to data. So there's a relationship between the two. So it's important to understand the complexity of interrelationships and not to oversimplify our view of the market.
Do you find that big established brands also have to carry out this type of research?
They are the ones that do it more often because for them it's very important to understand the usage environment. The bigger the company, then the higher the likelihood that they're expected to be socially responsible.
All right.
Because at that level, then not only are they looking at the issue of affordability and value for money, but they are also looking at whether their products are socially responsible.
Mm.
So they are the ones that do a lot of this research. And what is important for us in terms of providing this type of data is we find very often companies set out to do a usage and attitudes study, but they end up doing having a pricing component in that, having an image component in that, having a product and a concept testing component in that, having a segmentation component in that. It's very important that when they do a usage and attitude study, in other words, what do our consumers expect from our product? What are the attitudes that underlie the use of our product? And how exactly do they use it to focus specifically on that area?
Is it just as important for the smaller medium enterprise businesses to go this route as well?
Yes, certainly so, and even more so if you have a smaller business, because most business people, particularly the new businesses less than, say, 36 months, assume that they have a perfect knowledge of how their services and products are being used. But nothing could be further from the truth. Once you get into understanding their consumers, you find that there's often subtle differences between the intended main purpose of the service or product and how it is actually used. So one can never over-research this area. And the more that you know, then the better you are able to communicate more about your product, then you are empowered to know what are the levers that you use to make your product appear better than otherwise it would be the case.
Thank you so much once again for an informative chat. Plus 94 Research CEO Sfiso Falala in this week's Intuitive Business Feature.